Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Moving, as we have, into Romans chapter 5, we are looking at three results of justification in verses 1 and 2. And this is for believers. This is for those who know that they have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so what are the three results of justification mentioned here? They are number one, peace, number two, access, and number three, hope. Peace we have already covered, and now we're ready for access. And what does that mean? Again, the first part of verse 2, through whom also we have access. Access to what? Access where? We might not appreciate this particular blessing, this result, this benefit that flows from justification. The first one, peace, we can identify with and I think appreciate, though we need to understand it thoroughly, and we tried to help you with that over the last couple of broadcasts, to understand that peace must first of all be understood objectively before it can be properly appropriated subjectively. Before we can enjoy a sense of peace, we have to understand the reality of peace and the basis of peace, and we really need to understand the doctrine of reconciliation, how sinners are reconciled to a holy God. And it is justification that brings reconciliation, and reconciliation means peace. And peace, therefore, with God, means that we can enjoy a sense of rest, security, a sense of well-being, because we are reconciled to God. So peace we can understand, I think. We can appreciate that. We have a longing for peace. We have a longing for peace in our hearts, to not be troubled, to not be in turmoil, to not be agitated, but to be at peace, to be at rest. And if justification brings peace, first of all objectively, but secondly subjectively, we're all for that, and we thank God for that, and we should learn to experience that, to appreciate that, to understand that, so that we can experience it. But now what is this access all about? Well, this is maybe even a greater blessing than peace, because we're talking about the privilege of access to God, which is, I think, in many ways, our greatest privilege, and is, therefore, the source of all of our true blessings that flow to us from our new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. Now, one of the reasons why we don't value this privilege of access to God so much is because I'm afraid most Americans assume that they already have it. And we don't value that which we think we already possess. If we realized that we do not have access to God until we have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And until we have been justified, we have no access to God. We cannot come to God. We cannot anticipate praying to God and His hearing our prayers. We cannot assume that God receives us, that He hears us, that He helps us, that He blesses us, that we have no access to God when we are unjustified before God, because we are still at enmity with God, as we saw in the first blessing that relates to peace. But most people in America don't understand that because of the kind of namby-pamby Christianity that we have, the kind of God loves everybody regardless teaching that is so prevalent. And, oh boy, I didn't really mean to get into that subject, the subject of God's love, but this emphasis upon God being a God of love and loving everybody the same way and loving everybody unconditionally has given people a false sense of acceptance with God, which is not true. I remember the furor that happened a few years ago when somebody dared to say that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the God-appointed Messiah, God does not hear their prayers. And what a furor that raised across America when that hit the public airwaves and newspapers. How dare that preacher say anything like that? How dare he suggest that people of other faiths and other religions don't have access to God, and that God doesn't hear their prayers? That is not polite. That is not politically correct. That is not to be said. We are to pretend that that is not true. We are to say that we believe that everybody has equal access to God, whether we think that's true or not. And we are going to insist upon that. And that is what we are going to propagate. And how dare anyone say the opposite? Well, this preacher is going to say the opposite because God's Word teaches the opposite. You cannot come to God unless you come to Him through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting it. But if I'm a Christian, then surely one of the things that means is I believe what Jesus said. What other kind of Christian could there possibly be? Could there be someone who believes themselves to be a Christian but would be so bold as to say, I don't believe what Jesus said? Maybe what you think is that John was not accurately quoting Jesus Christ when he said that, that those are the words of John the Apostle and they're not the words of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you think those are the words of some later Christians in later generations following John who fabricated those words and put them in his mouth and wrote them down and said that Jesus said that and he never said any such thing. Well, I've got a question for you. How do we determine what Jesus did and did not say? How do we know anything that Jesus said? If we don't accept the Bible as the Word of God, the inspired and therefore infallible and therefore authoritative Word of God, if we can't take the Bible for what it claims to be and say about what Jesus said, how do we know anything that Jesus said? You see, what it really boils down to is, we want to pick and choose. I believe Jesus said that because I agree with that. I don't believe Jesus said that because I don't agree with that. So we want to say, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount. Most people who say that really have very little idea of what is in the Sermon on the Mount, but the Beatitudes, we'll take those. We like those. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and so forth. And those sound real good and noble and safe and ambiguous and general enough that everybody can claim them and nobody gets offended by them. And so we'll accept that. We'll believe that Jesus said that. We might even believe that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But we wouldn't dare quote the verses on either side of that, such as the one that says, "He that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Oh, we wouldn't believe that. Jesus said, John 3:16, Jesus didn't say, John 3:17 and 18, I mean, it really gets kind of foolish after a while. We'll take this, not that. We'll pick this, we'll not pick that. Well, when did you become the one to decide? When did you become the judge of the Bible? I think you've got it backwards. The Bible is the judge of you. And let's just quit playing games. I mean, it really boils down to this. You're either a Christian or you're not. If you're a Christian, it's because you believe in Jesus Christ. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are his disciple. And that means that you are following the Christ that is presented to you in the Bible. Not one of your own imagination, not one that you've made up, not one that you piece together by a snatch of this and a snatch of that, and we reject that and we'll accept this and we'll make a Christ that we can all agree on and that we can like and that we can fit into a religious soup that agrees with every other religion and doesn't offend anybody, and we'll take Christ that way, and we'll believe in that Christ, and we'll call ourselves Christians. Now, listen, let's just be honest and say, I either do or I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I either do or I don't believe that the Bible is the revelation of Christ, else I have no way of knowing who Jesus is and what he said. Come on, let's quit playing games, is what I'm saying. Either believe it, or be honest and say, I don't believe it. I'm not a Christian. I don't claim to be. But the fact is, a lot of people aren't willing to do that. They want to be called a Christian. They want to be thought of as a Christian, but they don't want to be a Christian in the Bible sense of the term. They want to consider themselves a believer in Jesus Christ, but they don't want to believe in the Christ of the Bible. They don't want to believe in what Jesus said. But I come back and tell you again, dear friend, you don't have that option. You're just kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. You're being a fool. You're fooling yourself, but you're not really fooling. You're certainly not fooling God. You're not fooling others. It was Jesus himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is that right or wrong? True or false? Do you believe it or not? If you don't, be honest and say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe Jesus Christ is God. I don't believe he's the only way to God. I'm not a Christian. Okay? Let's be honest about that. Now, you need to become a Christian, but let's at least be honest about that. Let's understand that this is the claim that Christ has made. And it's very clear. There's only one way to God, the God of the Bible, the God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way is through Jesus Christ, believing who he is, accepting what the Bible tells us about him. And if you don't believe that and don't accept that, you don't have access to God. That's what Jesus said. It's right. You can't pray to God and your prayers be heard if you're not coming to him in Jesus' name. Meaning, as one of his believers, one of his followers, accepting who he is and what he claimed to be. So, let's believe what the Bible tells us, and let's have access to God through Jesus Christ. Until next week, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.